When you think college student, you probably picture an 18-year-old fresh out of high school living on a university campus. But Ed Klonoski, president of Charter Oak State College in New Britain, Connecticut, says that population is actually non-traditional.
If you think of full-time residential college students, your typical picture of a college student, I went to UConn, that was me, I was full-time and I was residential. They represent 15% of the 20 million people that are in higher ed today. That's all. 40% of the undergraduates in higher education are over the age of 25 and going to school part-time. So if you just look at who's out there available to be educated, you know, that traditional 18-year-old market is shrinking, and the adult population is the big untapped possibility.
Because of that stereotype, most of the conversation about college loan debt focuses on those teenagers and what financial barriers they may face when they graduate in their early 20s. As Klonoski explains, because of the increasing focus placed on a person's area of study and its correlation to a career in today's economy, more and more adults are going back to school.
20 years ago, if you got a bachelor's degree in anything, you know, you had a credential that was going to open doors for you. That's still true, but now students are coming and saying, yeah, but I want a bachelor's degree in that field, because that field, whether it's health or information technology or whatever, seems to have a lot of job opportunities in it.
But people entering college beyond their teenage and even 20s typically have more outside responsibilities, like full-time jobs, insurance payments, and families of their own. Kerry Troutman is the coordinator of financial aid and work study at Berkshire Community College in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, where 66% of the 3,100 students attend part-time. She says those outside commitments mean many adult learners can only attend classes part-time, stretching a two-year program into 3 or 5 years.
It's generally longer than a traditional student because a lot of our non-traditional students come in and they have to get back up to speed to a college level. So a lot of our students start with remedial coursework in English or math, or both. So they have to get back into the groove of education and get to the college level. So some of those may take a semester or two to just do the remedial classwork before they even start their educational program.
3 to 5 years can be daunting for someone already paying the bills that come with being on your own or supporting a family. That's why Christina Delbridge, the director of financial aid at SUNY Empire State College in New York, where 98% of 3,000 annual graduates study part-time, says getting the diploma is the best solution to student debt.
The debt conversation, it's been a really hot media topic lately. And it's interesting because, you know, debt load for one person to another person can vary greatly. And really the most important thing that everyone in higher education and government could do to actually address the out-of-control levels of student debt, or the perceived out-of-control levels, I'll say, is to help students actually complete their degrees. Because, you know, the sooner the students can obtain their degrees and graduate, the sooner they can start paying back on the student loans and, you know, earning an income. Realistically, the longer a student's in school, if they're taking an unsubsidized loan because the interest accrues while they're in school, that's going to play a difference later in the amount of money that they actually end up paying back on their loans, unless they make arrangements to pay the interest while in school. So that's one of the wisest things that students who are borrowing loans can do.
Delbridge says the average loan debt for the 12,000 students who began seeking bachelor degrees in 2008 was $10,000. While it's difficult for schools to track private loan borrowing, Delbridge says 60% of Empire State students, largely adults whose coursework is split between online and face-to-face instruction, received some form of financial aid, either via federal or state programs, scholarships, or employee benefits.
The biggest misperception is that adult students somehow aren't going to be eligible for financial aid, and realistically, they're eligible for the same types of financial aid that a traditional student is eligible for.
Delbridge says it's also a myth that there are no external scholarships available for adult learners. Charter Oak's Klonoski says the external funding for college typically varies for a recent high school graduate and someone working full-time.
Most of that kind of philanthropy is imagining an 18-year-old exiting high school and beginning college. There are probably fewer scholarships of that sort available to an adult student. But adult students work, and oftentimes their companies will support their educational efforts with an educational benefit.
Klonoski says adult students are also more likely to receive a private loan because they typically have more equity, like a car or house, than a teenager. Sandra Barkovich is pursuing a master's degree after earning 2 undergraduate degrees and receiving Empire State's Chancellor's Award for Student Excellence in 2014. but it was a long road to get to here. Barkovich was living on her own after high school, attending community college and working as a night shift supervisor at a Burger King. She ended up dropping out because she couldn't afford it, and like many say, life got in the way. After getting a customer service job, she utilized her company's tuition reimbursement to start at Empire in 1997. But when her company shifted operations to Buffalo, the reimbursement went with it, and the pursuit of a college degree tagged along. Flash forward to 2010, 7 years into a new job as a customer care advocate for Honeywell International, Barkovich realized she had gone as far as she could in her career without a degree. She enrolled at Empire, again using a company-based tuition reimbursement. Then, in 2012, she was laid off. Her salary and company car went away.
It was quite the shock. And again, I was the breadwinner, so we lost more than half of our salary. And it was brutal. And again, I was faced with, what do I do? And I felt that I needed my degree more than ever.
The layoff allowed her to dive fully into her studies, but the loss of income still didn't qualify her for federal student grants, and she turned to federal loans, something she wanted to avoid.
I know that so many people talk about how expensive college is and how it can be, but you know how many, so many times people spend their money and they don't realize what they're spending it on? You can cut back on minimal things and be able to get other things. You just have to decide what means more to you. And so for me, we used to go to the movies and eat out all the time. And we decided, let's stop going to the movies and eating out all the time and make that minimal. And then all of that money, which was considerable amount of money, was then moved into the different bucket, in this case, school. So just some rearranging of things that people don't even realize. We gave up paid television. We don't have cable or dish network or anything like that. That was a significant savings every single month. And so little things like that. We kind of tightened our belts and said, okay, I'm in it, you know, for the final stage.
Barkovich is now working part-time at Empire's Office of Academic Affairs. She's received scholarships by being involved in extracurriculars like one might expect a teenage residential college student would be a part of. She serves on the Student Affairs Committee and is the editor of the student newsletter. When asked if she regrets not seeing college through to the end right out of high school, Barkovich says it's a catch-22.
My son and my daughter will look at me and they'll be like, Mama, why didn't you just go right into school, into college when you got out of high school? That's just crazy. And I'm like, I know. So what are you going to do? And they're both like, going right into college, Mama. So on one end, I say, going straight in, I wish I had, and I wish I had stuck with it. On the other flip side, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up then. And so if I had followed through, I would be in a very different place than I am now, and I might not have gotten the depth out of my college experience that I am getting now.
Representing 91% of its student body, Charter Oak ranks third in the nation for the most students over 25, according to U.S. News. Charter Oak's Klonoski says the adult learner is much different than a high school senior taking a campus tour with her parents.
Because adults are consumers. They shop for programs in colleges. They expect the college to sort of meet them halfway. They like online courses because it removes their need to commute places. It makes the education more convenient inside their own time constraints. So serving the adult market is difficult. They're a demanding market.
The Connecticut legislature established Charter Oak 40 years ago as a degree completion institution. Klonoski says more and more students are coming to the school with fewer credits because people realize they need a degree sooner in today's economy. Kelly Malika is an outreach specialist at Empire State College, where 83% of its students are 25 or older. She says schools designed around serving adult learners are seeing more competition.
The standard has shifted, right? And there are more people, I believe, pursuing degree programs now in a non-traditional format, just because of the very nature of the economy and what is possible. You know, the private college, you know, Ivy League approach is just not affordable and or flexible for today's student. And so industry, you know, the education industry is now having to reframe how we are approaching our students and how we're providing that accessibility for them to be able to graduate.
To better serve the growing adult learner crowd, colleges offer what are called prior learning assessments. This allows a student to prove via tests, essays, and projects that earlier life experiences amount to college credits. Here's Klinoski.
Remember that at the end of the day, and this is the part people get wrong, while college talks a great deal about instruction, what you get credit for is what you know and what you can do. So in a typical class, you go to class and you do assignments and you talk to your students and you talk to your professor and your professor gives you tests and papers and projects. And the tests and papers or projects are a way to assess what you know and what you can do. The assumption is you need all the instruction and all the interaction in order to create the tests, the papers, the projects. But it isn't actually necessary that you've had that instruction to demonstrate those skills. You might have learned those things somewhere else.
Barkovich took advantage of Empire State's prior learning assessments.
I find it incredibly ironic that 63 of my undergraduate credits, which is just shy of an associate's, I got through prior learning assessment. So almost an associate's degree I could have had. Now, that's not to say that I would have done that early, because the only way you can get this experience and something that involved, and not everybody has that. You could be working for 20 years and not be that invested, and so you don't get the college level learning out of it.
At Charter Oak, those prior learning assessments are molded into what's called a student's portfolio. Klinoski says 13% of the credits among Charter Oak's last graduating class were from prior learning experiences.
And we're currently part of an experimental sites program with the federal government where we're trying to argue that if we could use Pell money for that, we could increase that number. Because currently at Charter Oak, you can't use your financial aid, your federal Pell money, for a portfolio. You can only use it for a course. Well, a portfolio costs half as much as a course. So if students could use their financial aid for portfolios, or even for tests, which are even cheaper than portfolios, they could accelerate their time to degree and they could lower the cost of the degree. So that's the proposition we want to see if the feds will let us test.
Klinoski says the average enrollment at Charter Oak spans about 3 years, with students carrying roughly $11,250 in debt upon graduation, not including private loans. Also, Connecticut has begun offering a program where people with college credits but no degrees can enroll in one of the 17 state-funded institutions and have their first and second courses matched with free courses along with their final one. Klinoski says there are already 925 students across the state taking advantage of the offer. Another area of flexibility for adult learners is online courses, so students don't have to worry about work or childcare conflicts. But as Troutman, the financial aid director at Berkshire Community College, explains, the internet-based classes can come with a learning curve.
It's brand new. Also, they may not have the technology at home to do it, or they may not have the experience with working with a computer and, you know, using the internet and typing and, you know, using Word and Excel and that sort of thing. So we do see non-traditional students that are hesitant with doing online, or they're really uncomfortable with being around a computer. You know, we have students who they did things on typewriters and word processors, and they never had to use a computer in their day-to-day, their prior job, or their, you know, lifestyle. And so they have to come in and, you know, be encouraged to take a computer class and learn the basics before they dive into online learning.
Nearly 60% of people who leave Berkshire Community College will borrow money, owing an average of $8,500. In the end, is it worth it to go back to school while juggling a family, car payments, and a job? According to Troutman, the answer is, it depends.
They do ask us if it's worth it. And then ultimately, we can show them statistics that you will make more having an associate's or a bachelor's degree than traditionally that you would with a high school diploma. But certainly, they do have to take into consideration, are they going to have to relocate? Because once they have their degree, does our current market allow them to find a position? Or are they needing to leave here and go on for further education? So if they have their associate's, are they going to be able to find a position, or is it just the stepping stone to get them into a bachelor's or a master's program that they ultimately know in the field that they're at.
After achieving an associate's degree from Berkshire Community College in 1988, Cindy Bird worked for 26 years at North Adams Regional Hospital in Western Massachusetts before it closed in March 2014. With an 11-year-old, Bird decided to go to BCC in hopes of joining her oldest daughter at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts and becoming a teacher.
I never would have gone back to school because of the cost. But watching this all happen, you definitely have to be an advocate for yourself, for everything.
Reporting from WAMC's Berkshire Bureau at the Berkshire Eagle, I'm Jim Lavoulis.